DW Deutsche Welle. Pulse.
Hello and welcome to Pulse. I'm Jessie Wingard in Bonn, Germany. We have lots to cram into the show, so let's not waste any time.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Today, we take a look at the taboo topic of sex, get on the phone to a sex education hotline, try to debunk some of the myths surrounding menstruation and too posh to push. We find out why women in Uganda are opting for cesarean deliveries when their babies are born. All that and more coming up on this jam-packed edition of Pulse. In Senegal, sex remains a largely taboo subject, but it's now possible to get accurate medical advice anonymously and without judgment over the phone. Callers can get informed answers to questions about contraception, sexuality, pregnancy, or sexually transmitted diseases from experienced midwives who man the phones at a newly opened specialised call centre. Young people make up the majority of callers. They can contact the centre by phoning or even WhatsApp or Skype calls. Emanuele Lunde reports from Dakar.
Having the sex talk with your parents can be pretty awkward. For Senegalese teenagers and young adults, it can even be taboo to bring up the subject with conservative elders. Preserving family reputation, honour, or just out of simple good manners, rare are those that can sit down and talk about tampons and condoms with their mum and dad. Fama Fall is 20 years old. She's studying logistics in Dakar. Social media like Twitter and her friends are her main sources of information on sexuality.
Internet. Ou des copines.
Internet? Are my friends? I have friends my age that are already married, so we can talk about. But most of the things I've learned was at school with my friends or my teachers. We are taught about different methods of contraception, things about pregnancy, things about men and about women, just about sex, really.
In Senegal, one girl in three are wed before they reach 18, and only 7% of married teen girls use birth control, according to the latest National Health Survey. Fama lives with her grandmother, so the generation gap to talk about sex and contraception at home is even wider.
C'est un peu un sujet tabou, en fait.
It's a bit of a taboo subject. In Senegal, some families are not used to talking about that. And like, mostly you talk about it when you're about to get married or when there's a problem in the family. Yeah, like a pregnancy.
Western Central Africa have one of the world's lowest rates of contraceptive use among women and teenage girls. They often lack knowledge about their options, struggle to access health centres and face objections from their husbands and families. There is another contraceptive method used by parents, though. Tell the girls they'll get pregnant if they touch or kiss a boy. It's one of the great pregnancy myths girls are told when they get their first period.
C'est vrai. En fait, dès que tu as tes règles, on te dit, dès qu'un garçon te touche.
Yes, it's true. As soon as you get your period, you get told, as soon as a boy touches you, you will get pregnant. And they don't explain to you why. Some girls are even afraid to talk to boys because you don't understand. No one explains it to you. It's just what parents tell you. As soon as a boy touches you, you can get pregnant.
In Senegal, about one in four married women and girls aged 15 to 49 use modern contraception, up from 12% in 2011. But the Senegalese government wants to lift that figure to 45% by 2020 and increase the number of youth who use sexual and reproductive health services to 70% from 10%.
Allô Lydia, bonjour. Santé alhamdulillah, c'est bien. Fait du centre d'appel Lydia.
Maïssa Dia is a trained midwife. She's one of eight midwives recruited by the NGO DKT International to answer questions from the public about family planning, sex or STDs through a call centre which has been called Allo Lydia.
Santé sexuelle, infection sexuellement transmissible humaine infébrosée, avec des effets tubulaires aussi. Les gens ignorent les différentes méthodes contraceptives qui existent.
People are unaware of the different contraceptive methods or where to get these contraceptives, the costs, the side effects, the benefits of the inconvenience? These are the questions that come up all the time.
Even for her as a midwife, talking about sex at home growing up was also taboo. But she learned a lot as the youngest of six sisters, she says.
J'ai eu la chance peut-être d'être la dernière d'une fratrie de sept.
We all grew up in the same room, and so that's when I had the chance to learn a few things from my big sisters. But with my parents, no. Here, that kind of thing isn't really done.
She firmly believes that there's a lack of education that needs to be addressed.
Il faut que les enfants comprennent la réalité. C'est la communication. Si ils comprennent, ils vont adopter.
Children need to understand reality through communication. If they understand, they will adopt the situation. But if they don't understand, it creates endless questions. We're trying to change things now, since we've had the chance to know the truth. We'll try to teach our future daughters, our nieces, our little sisters, or at least to improve the cultural situation in our country.
Mesa says around 40% of calls come from men, asking about family planning and contraception methods. For 21-year-old Philip, that's not his real name, by the way, he wanted to stay anonymous, his big brother and cousins were always there to give advice.
Notre éducation sexuelle, on se fait ça entre nous.
We taught ourselves about sex education. Each one helps the other or offers an explanation. Older brothers, uncles, cousins, they all have something to contribute. They have more experience than us. They've been through more, so they can give us advice.
And when friends and relatives aren't available, porn sites on the internet are always available, says Philip.
L'adolescence, les sites pornographiques, on y est passé.
During adolescence, we used to visit porn sites, like really spend a lot of time on there. We learned a lot of stuff, I have to admit. It's an experience, but we understood from the beginning as well that that's not how things happen in real life, that it's just acting.
But even if Philip has understood that, many don't, and this ad hoc self-education can lead to problems. The thirst for education is there, it's just that relying on questionable websites and hearsay can be problematic. That's where the Allo Lydia hotline comes in. The authorities are hoping it will become the go-to place for young and old to get accurate information. Already, the number of calls and WhatsApp messages have increased from around 100 in August to more than 1,000 in September. Those that work at Allo Lydia hope that the information they offer will eventually reach everyone who needs it, and that's a lot of people, given that the population currently stands at just over 15 million. For DW, this is Emmanuel Landais in Dakar, Senegal. I'm at a payphone
trying to call home all of my... And if you know about a project that is taking the world by storm and should feature on Pulse, get in contact with us. We'd love to hear about it. Head to DW Africa on Facebook and leave us a message. Yeah, I know it's hard. Often young women across Africa miss school when they have their periods. UNESCO estimates that 1 in 10 girls in Africa is absent from school during their menstrual cycle. In some homes, families believe that menstruating women are not fit to cook during their period as they might contaminate the food. In others, women are banished to outside huts during that time. But an NGO in Ghana is trying to change these misconceptions, provide information and make affordable sanitary pads available to women through their Promoting Menstrual Hygiene in Schools project. A group of girls are using school and community debates to address these issues. Maxwell Souk sent us this report from one of those debates.
Adolescent girls from different schools arrived at the assembly hall in Tamale Senior High School to lock horns on the topic of menstruation and whether or not it is poverty or ignorance which is causing problems for girls with their periods.
Fellow honourable debaters, all honourables present, noble mentors present, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I, Honorable Akolibla Abangme Mavis, could say that about 99.9% of Ghanaians are informally educated on personal and menstrual hygiene.
Despite the views voiced loudly during the debate, silence is one of the biggest problems in Ghana when it comes to periods, as this girl testifies.
Sometimes, some people, like, for example, my village like this, if you menstruate, you will not cook, that you are dirty. The example is always the men. They will say that you are dirty, don't tie them, and what and what.
Poverty also plays its part. Most girls cannot afford sanitary pads, especially those in low-income communities, and therefore they would rather stay home during their periods, according to Rosemon Adongo, headmistress of the Baga Baga Demonstration Junior High School in Tamale.
Some will really come to school. When they get it, they feel bad because they feel their friends have seen it and they are not happy. They feel bad the whole day. It affects learning. Like today, I've just come to school and I'm not aware that my period would come and it has come. I'll be fidgeting. Sitting, you can't sit well. Either you are forced to go home or you are forced to be at one place. You can't even go out for a break. You can't even concentrate to learn.
It is situations like this that compel NOSAC, an NGO in Tamale, to pilot the Promoting Menstrual Hygiene in Schools project in the Northern Region. Nancy Yari coordinates the project.
Menstruation comes with a lot of perceptions. In some places, when a girl is in her period, she's not supposed to cook. She's not supposed to greet elders. Girls come from different backgrounds and then they have these perceptions in mind and they carry them along and they feel stigmatized when they are having their period. So this platform is to help break that barrier. It's to let girls understand that menstruation is not a crime, it's not a taboo. And NOSAC has given them this platform to talk amongst themselves whilst also drawing the attention of certain stakeholders who can support them, especially teachers. So girls should be free and have their flow.
Girls that can't afford sanitary pads use rags instead. But advocates say that is not ideal. Gladys Mutara, a Kenyan interning at the Action Aid Tamale office as a mentor, meets the girls regularly to talk about such issues. For her, most girls in the northern region see menstruation as a burden.
You find that the girls do not have like the confidence to clean the rag very well and hang it outside so that if there are any infections, if there are any bacteria forming, so that they get killed by the sun. They will be using the pad, that rag, the way it is, for maybe the entire period. Some can go up to like 6 days just because they don't have the confidence and because the issue of menstruation is like taboo. Like it shouldn't be like known that you on menstruation. So it's a major issue, especially with girls in the northern region.
At the moment, civil society organizations like NOSAC are calling for the government to provide free sanitary pads to girls in schools. If that happened, many of the school girls would find things much easier.
Because some of us like this, our parents, they don't even have the money to even give us good food to eat, not talk about pad for buying, pad for us to use.
In other countries, government provides free sanitary pads to girls in schools, and Gladys Mutara feels such could be emulated in Ghana so that poor girls can have a better education.
What I've seen other countries doing is the government taking the responsibility of providing pads to all school girls from primary school up to senior high school, as long as a girl is in school. Because you see, no one chooses to be born as a girl or to be born as a woman. So when you take a girl to school, one of the things she'll need, besides the books that the government provides and also the pens that the government provides, the other thing that a girl must have is sanitary pads. So the government should take the responsibility of providing sanitary towels to girls so that they can be able to stay in school and compete just like the boys at the same level.
For now, advocacy workers want to get the issue out in the open as the first step. Then, if the government agrees to waive taxes on the importation of sanitary pads, then perhaps more girls and women will be able to continue with their normal lives, even whilst they have their periods. For women who are already educated in these issues, that is taken as a given. For many of the girls I spoke to for this report, that state of affairs is still a long way off, especially as the government hasn't yet stated their future policy and the NGOs only have funding for the next couple of years. For DW, this is Maxwell Souk, Tamale, Northern Ghana.
cesarean deliveries have become all too common in Uganda. An increasing number of women are opting for the procedure when their babies are born, something that is worrying gynecologists. Oftentimes, doctors are too quick to recommend a C-section for the profits they can make. Health experts, though, are warning women of the dangers if the procedure is undertaken unnecessarily. As Frank Yeager found out, there is more to this new craze than being too posh to push.
Oluka Jamila is a mother of one. She gave birth naturally, but the labour pains she went through are still fresh in her mind. Oluka tells me her antenatal checkups did not prepare her for the pain she was to face.
The next time I get pregnant, I am not going to go through labor pains. Seriously, I'm just going to walk to hospital and give birth because I do not want that stress. Most ladies now opt for C-section for those reasons. You find that you go through labor pains, at the end of it all, they will cut you.
And there are many like her. Betty Arach, a mother of two, first gave birth normally before getting a cesarean for her second child. During labor, her membrane failed to rupture and her body did not respond to the induction. She says her physician had no option but to perform an operation.
I just fear now that labor pain, given what I went through. Though I do not know why the induction failed. The baby was supposed to come out. I would have given birth normally, but I don't know what happened.
I met Sarah Nalule on her way to the antenatal visits. She is a few days away from delivery. But like many Ugandan women, Nalule has made up her mind.
I don't want to have to go through the pains I hear everyone talk about. I hear some women undress themselves because the pain is too much. So I want to go for cesarean and my baby will be out in no minute and I'll be fine. So I don't see why I should go screaming like a woman in the 1920s. I mean, it's .com. Science has improved life. Why should I have to go through the pain? No way.
In traditional Ugandan society, birth by cesarean section was unheard of. In case of complications while giving birth, midwives would use traditional herbs, which is today compared to induction. Many traditionalists, like Olivia Tweheyo, want to see the practice maintained.
In our culture, a woman is called a woman by the virtue that she has pushed a baby. That's the only thing that qualifies someone to be a woman. But if God said that the kids are supposed to go through the whole process and you get that pain, but here we are, a woman goes to the hospital, she's cut. So imagine a baby is in the stomach, sleeping, she is not yet prepared for what is in the world. Then all of a sudden, they're like, come out. It means those are the kind of the babies that we have now, who are jumping up and down. You know, you meet a kid does not know this is the mother, there is no bondage, nothing.
Myths about natural birth are due to lack of education, and hospitals continue to cash in on this craze for cesarean deliveries. But what about fears of a weak pelvic floor by women and the risks? Sewegamo Enoch, a doctor at Mlag Hospital, explains.
Women are opting for C-sections these days, and the reasons many of them give is because they think they might become wide when they deliver normally, so their husbands will run away to younger girls. With C-section, there are higher chances that a woman will bleed out. With C-section, there are higher chances that the woman might get complications of the drugs. There are drugs we administer. There are chances that they might pass on due to complications of those drugs.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Pulse. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We'd love to hear your feedback. Head to DW Africa on Facebook and leave us a message. I'm Jessie Wingard. From all of us here at DW, have a wonderful week ahead.